Hi, my name is Alan, and I'm an addict. I am really glad to be here, and I'm glad to be here not because I'm particularly looking forward to speaking, but because I really love this convention. I have, from the convention CPRCNA number one, been to every one of the conventions. I have been working on most of the conventions. CPRCNA one, I spent time working on the registration committee for a little while. I was scared to death. It was in Annapolis, but it was wonderful. CPRCNA 2, I was the treasurer for CPRCNA 2. CPRCNA 3, I was on the board of directors as the treasurer, and 4 and 5, and then I became the president of the board of directors and did that for a couple of years and took a very mercifully needed break for a year or two and then came back and it was the host committee chair for CPRCNA 12. The vice president of the board of directors for 13, the president of the board of directors for 14, was on it for 15, and still working on it now at 16. Does this sound like a long damn process? It is not a long process. And you know why it's not a long process? Because what else am I going to do? What else does a dope fiend do to be a productive member of society without at least starting to help Narcotics Anonymous exist within society? I mean, for real, you guys, I did not come here just brimming with capability for being a productive member of society. That was just not where I was. In fact, I got here, I was unemployed, and I was unemployable. Nobody wanted to give me a job. Why? Because they shouldn't. See, people, most people, know better. They take one look at us and they say, yeah, I think I'll take the girl in the corner. I've never met her, but she's better than you. You know, and the reason being is because dope fiends are that kind of people. You know, we have a certain little magnetism of our own. Have you ever been into a large crowd of people, looked out over 100 people, and found both addicts? You know, zeroed right in on them, knew exactly what kind of drugs they were probably carrying, if they were carrying anything. In fact, by the time you'd walked over in their direction, you'd already figured out how to score from them. I mean, for real, we are that kind of people, you know. And because we have that magnetism, or negative magnetism, if there is such a thing, because we have that, when we go walking into a regular job kind of interview and we sit down and we go, hi, my name is Alan, and I really like a job with you, they go, thanks for sharing, you know. And at least they did to me. At least they did to me. I mean, I came into the program, and I was not invited to come in and do nice things. I wasn't invited to have really, you know, I didn't get a good job. In fact, the first job I wound up getting was working at a little drugstore. A friend of mine was the manager of the drugstore. He invited me in. He said, you can work at night. You can work part-time. If you go near the cash register, I'll kill you. You know, because he was a friend, you know. And the fact was, he knew two things about me. One is he knew that I really, really wanted this thing. I really wanted recovery. I mean, it's always been important to me. Even when I was using, it was like all I wanted to do was to recover. All I wanted to do. But you know what? There is just something about me that doesn't click, you know. Recovery just is not a natural state for me. And so what happened was I didn't recover. For years, I didn't recover. I kept thinking about it, and I kept wanting to, and I had the best damn intentions. I had I had wonderful reasons to recover. There was all kinds of stuff going on, and I just didn't. You know, other people would say, well, you didn't, of course, you know, you're an asshole, and that's why you don't recover, because assholes never do. What I found out was I'm an addict, and addicts have a hard time recovering. It is not something that comes naturally to us, not even close. And so, you know, what happens, and I am going to get to the ninth tradition, which is what this meeting's about. What happened, at least for me, was I came into the program, and I had very little skills for being a productive member of society. Hell, I had very little skills for being a productive member of the house that I was staying in with five other people, two-bedroom townhouse in the middle of the slums. Five of us living there, none of us able to together scrape up enough money for rent each month. Wondering what the hell's wrong, and then, oh my God, we'd have to pay electricity. Can you imagine? That was just a major crisis on our hands. Five people all working, we can't pay a $50 electric bill. I mean, you know, go figure out what's going on there. It is because that characteristic that makes me such a wonderful person makes me also a really terribly unproductive member of society. Now, we come into Narcotics Anonymous, and what they say is the idea is to become a productive member of society. That's what we're going to turn you into. Whether you know, and you're like, not that. Please, anything but that. And they're like, no, this is what we're going to do to you. And the reason we're going to do this to you is because we know we can. Because you came to Narcotics Anonymous because it's the last house on the block. You have no choice. We're going to do two things that you're going to find appalling, Alan. We're going to do two things. One is, read the steps. Might as well, you're going to find out about them eventually, you know, might as well at least read through them once, and you're going to find in there that there is such a thing as a higher power that the steps and the traditions call God. Get used to it. You know, because Alan, if the word God, if the concept of God chases you out the door, the drugs will bring you back. So get used to the idea that the steps and traditions talk about God, because we're going to go there, and you're going to have to figure that out. And the second thing is, Alan, we are going to make you, despite your best intention, into a productive member of society. Or at least we're going to try. And the reason is because if you are not a productive member of society, if you continue to feel like an outsider, if you continue to feel isolated and alone and incapable and incompetent and unloved and unwanted, you are going to use. Because you know what? Those are not stable places to be. Because what you do when you feel that way is you try and become powerful in some way. Now, we will tell you that you are powerless over your addiction, so your attempt to become powerful in any way that you do it, you know, is going to be bad for you. And so if you stay isolated and alienated and you know, an outcast forever, and you try and become powerful, you're in trouble. That is what we call a reservation, and if you have them, get rid of them, because that's why you use. And if your reservations chase you out, the drugs will chase you back. So get the picture. It's like you've lost already. We call that surrender. I'm like, whoa, this is way too much for me. I mean, I'm a newcomer. You can't talk to me that way. You're supposed to be nice, you know? I'm a newcomer. And they're like, dude, you are a newcomer, but you know what? Your plan for living failed. You know, absolutely. You're here, and you look like shit, and you come in and telling me what you want and what you need and what you're hoping to get. And you know what? You have no credibility with me whatsoever. You look like shit. You're a fucking dope fiend. You've just come in off the street. You owe everybody money. You're scared to death. You know, you want a new car, a new job, a new girlfriend, a new place to live, new parents, new country. You know, you want, and are capable of giving yourself nothing, and you're telling me what you're going to do? Why don't you drop your plan and follow mine? Because ours works, and yours doesn't. You want to know the proof that ours works? The proof is, look at all these people who are reasonably happy, and look at yourself, who's very unhappy. Now, the difference between them and you is that they're following our plan and you're not. You're following your plan and your plan doesn't work, and they're following ours and ours does. And so it's all the evidence you need. So you're going to have to do two things that you're not going to like. You're going to have to get used to God, and you're going to have to become a productive member of society. Or use. And so if those things chase you out, don't worry. The drugs will chase you back, because this is the last house on the block. Welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. Okay. Okay, how do I meet chicks? I mean, you know, I had a very practical kind of approach to my recovery. If it was going to be as bad as all of that, then the thing to do, obviously, was to try and meet chicks. And they said, in your case, get involved in service. Eventually, what they meant was, if you get involved in service, they have enough time to stay away from you. You know, and they did. And so that was fine. But they said, yeah, get involved in service. It will be good for you. It will be good for you. You know, the funny thing is, and this is going to get to where I want to go, they did not really say it was going to be good for Narcotics Anonymous. They said, Alan, service will be good for you. And the point about that is, and it's important, is that if you get involved in Narcotics Anonymous and you are a thief, they may well make you a treasurer. Why would they make a treasurer a thief? Well, I will tell you, the first literature chairperson for the region of the CNP region, which at the time included Washington, D.C. and Baltimore, our first literature chair couldn't read. It is not a barrier to being of service in Narcotics Anonymous, that you have never done the job. That will not stop you from doing it. You may not have any kind of meeting, organizational, group facilitation kind of skills. They may say, we want you to be a GSR, or we want you to be an area type representative and go to the regions or whatever. You don't have to have those skills. Why? Because service in Narcotics Anonymous is not about service is good for Narcotics Anonymous as much as it is service is good for you. We're trying to make you a productive member of society. Narcotics Anonymous is going to exist no matter how you fuck up. We have a very, very simple program. We have the program of Narcotics Anonymous is a bunch of people get together and do what's absolutely impossible. A bunch of addicts who can't keep themselves clean individually get together and they talk about it with each other and they stay clean as a group. And so the Narcotics Anonymous is as simple as a group getting together, a group of people getting together and staying clean. And then eventually getting bored of their own damn stories and going and finding other people and telling other people their stories. And they say, well, dude, now why should we pay any attention to you? And they turn to you and say, well, you know what? Because you're a dope fiend and you're miserable. And we're dope fiends and we're happy. And it's because your plan does not work and our plan does. It's as simple as that. There is no heavy theological shit here, really. You know, I mean, it doesn't get any deeper than that. You can sit there and you can debate the vagaries of God and, you know, the existentialism of Kierkegaard, and you can talk about all this stuff, and they'll go, okay, but you know what? Go to a meeting, pray, you know, call your sponsor, you know, work the steps or die, motherfucker, and then go to another meeting. Try and stay clean between them, you know? And that's it, you know. Our whole spiritual program is pretty much that very practical stuff. And the reason it's that practical is because we can't debate God with you. We don't know. I mean, you know, I got a lot of education. Most people in Narcotics Anonymous don't. And you know what? Almost none of us are really good at debating God. I mean, it's just way, whoo, over our head. If you have a problem with that, go talk to the Pope. For real, don't come to Narcotics Anonymous to find out about God. Except, if you come to Narcotics Anonymous, we will try and convince you of one thing. Absolutely. You need one. You need one. You need yours. Go find yours. You know, do with every yours what you want to do, but you need one. Go find it. Make and get a relationship with that God. And then come back here. And when you're here, we're going to ask you to do service. Service. Yeah, well, this meeting is about the ninth tradition. And the ninth tradition says, NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. The deal here, in my mind, of course this is only my opinion, but the deal is that we do have a plan for making Narcotics Anonymous work. So not only is there the 12 steps, which we're offering to you as a plan for personal recovery, it was offered to me as a plan for personal recovery, and thank God. I tell you, I would have rewritten some. I may get into that if I have time, but nevertheless, I didn't, and instead I worked the program that they have. Also, we were given 12 traditions. Now, on the 12 traditions, if you go through and you look at them, you'll find that the first seven talk about the group. Group should remain autonomous, and group should be self-supporting, and personal recovery depends on NA unity, and our common welfare should come first, and those kind of things. The first seven talk about the group because that's really what Narcotics Anonymous is all about. Narcotics Anonymous starts at the group level. Now, then the other ones just are kind of reminders. They're saying, you know what, number 8 says Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number 9 says NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards and committees. And 10 is we have no opinion on outside, those kind of things. So, but those 8 and 9, the reason I bring those two up is because you would think that can't be a problem. A bunch of dope fiends who have no social skills to speak of per se, who are not productive members of society, who are coming to Narcotics Anonymous to learn how to become productive members of society, couldn't possibly have like opinions about stuff like Robert's Rules of Order when going to service committee meetings, right? I mean, how could they possibly walk into a service committee meeting and say, is there a second to that motion? You know, and you know, we want to make a motion to vote. Well, we got to vote on the motion to vote before we can vote on the vote that we've got on the floor. I mean, addicts don't do that, do we? Ever been to a service committee meeting? They do. For real, we really, really do. And you know what? Having these traditions is designed to protect us from us. Because you know what? If you are, in my opinion, if you are at an area-type service committee meeting or if you're at some other meeting and people start pulling this Robert Rules of Order stuff on you, they are just showing that they are not yet productive members of society. You know, you think, well, wait a minute, they sound so damn good. They, you know, I mean, they know about motions, to make tabling motions, to be able to, I mean, but you know what? It's not real. That stuff is not real. It is designed for people who want, who, you know, don't want to get stuff done or something. Because, you know what? The more you employ that kind of technique, the less you get done and the more frustrated everyone gets and the more you leave wanting to use. You know? Now, so this idea about Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, that's number 8, and NA as such ought never be organized, which is number 9, I mean, that is designed really to protect us from ourselves. What we're supposed to do, and this is really my understanding, is we are supposed to rely on this concept of group conscience. Just like the group, we learn how to become a productive member of society by being in a group. We sit down and pretty much what happens in a group if you say, okay, starting next week, everybody's got to bring in $20 and we're going to meet an hour earlier and we're going to have a 3-hour group conscience after every meeting. What would happen? People would go, thanks, I'm, you know, I got to go to this other meeting. I won't be here next week. Gee, I'm sorry, I'm out of here. You guys are nuts, you know, and they'd leave. You know, and so what happens is instead of being able to do this motions and all this, you know, all that kind of stuff, what happens is we sit around and go, well, what do you think? What works, you know? I mean, give me your opinion. Let's hear it. Let's talk about it, you know? Somebody come up with an idea. Somebody say something, you know? And then the group kind of eventually staggers its way into something and everyone goes, well, yeah, that sounds kind of cool. Okay. Yeah, okay, I'll do it. Yeah, yeah. And then you have what's called a group conscience forms. The group just sort of does it. Now, why does it do it? Because groups that try and do things that people don't want done lose those people. That's what happens. Ever been to an area service and looked around and said, you know what, we've got 50 groups in our area and only 15 are showing up? Ever wonder why? Well, maybe it's because you're doing something that doesn't help anybody. Those people who are not showing up are like, dude, I'm going to go buy literature because it's easier than buying literature anywhere else, but then I'm out of here. I'm not going to vote on anything. What are you, out of your mind? This stuff's boring, you know? I mean, and if that's true, then what's up with that? What it is that's an attempt by people, we call them addicts, to be able to be unproductive members of society in an organized structure. Unproductive members of society in an organized structure called an area service or a board or committee or something like that. It is not the way it works, as best I can tell. And I've been around for a while, you know? The tradition should protect us from that. They don't, really. Why? Because we don't tell people that, gee, this sounds like BS to me. You know, or if we do, we don't say it very loudly. Instead, we just sort of sit by and you let our fingers, our feet do the talking, and our feet say, let's go, and we do. You know, instead of sort of showing up. I mean, I don't know. That's just sort of one way to think about it. I want to move a little bit more complicated, though. And that's because, again, when I said that service is for us, you know, they turn to me and say, Alan, we want you to become a productive member of society, and the way we want you to do that is we want you to get involved in service. Because if you get involved in service, chances are you're going to meet people with more time than you who kind of know what they're doing, and your great ideas will not steamroller them. And, you know, and you're sort of wild, you know, either your intellect or your passion or whatever the heck is going on, your obstinance, your whatever, they're going to just sit there and go, oh, we got to put up with this, don't we, you know? And they will, you know. Why? Because, well, Alan, you're a volunteer on these service boards or committees. You're just showing up because you want to. They don't ever kick anybody out of there. I mean, it's hard to get people to show up. So if you show up on a service board or committee, you can be as obnoxious as you want, and they'll still see, they'll just go, keep coming back, you know. We love you. Please, you know, grow up and come back. No, just come back, you know. And that's a good thing for me. I mean, it really was a good thing for me. You know why? It's because when I would say things, I thought people would listen. I really thought I was making sense, you know. I mean, I don't know if I, looking back on it, I'm not sure how much I was all the time, you know. But I have some regrets from my time on service boards or committees. One of those is the this document we called a policy document that we, the area I've been associated with most of the time, actually did. We did policy, and I totally regret that. You know, I was like being a junior lawyer, and I was in there and doing the kind of things that lawyers do, and motions and, you know, cross motions, and, you know, we have three pros and three cons, and, you know, and all that stuff, you know, motion to table, and oh my God, all that stuff. And we got all complicated. We delineated the jobs of all the different people. The chair shall do this, and the vice chair shall do that, and it passed. You know, and it is a regret of sorts that I have that we actually went there. But the truth is, I didn't know better. And I don't think that that's the most effective way. Fortunately, I didn't ruin Narcotics Anonymous. I certainly didn't ruin the area. It's still there. They changed the policy once some people who had some time actually finally got used to trying to do it my way. They realized, boy, this sucks, you know. We're going to have to quit doing it that way, you know. And I didn't tell them how much I had involvement in that. They just sort of rewrote the thing, and they wrote a lot of that stuff out of it. And I was glad to see it go. You know, wish they'd taken more. Maybe they will sometime down the road. The important lesson there, though, is that, you know what, even my best efforts didn't hurt Narcotics Anonymous. I mean, not really. You know, and it's important because any of us can do that. But what did I learn? I learned two good lessons. One is I learned about all that complicated Robert's Rules of Order stuff. I mean, I did learn about that, and I guess I needed to. I'd never really been exposed to that, perhaps, in the way that I needed to be able to find out how other people do business and understand how other people can do that kind of stuff. And then I saw it not work. And then I learned that, you know what's more important than that? Getting along with people and making it work. Having all of us kind of agree on what we're going to do. That's way more important than voting on something. Any time a vote comes up in an area service and it's like 52% in favor and 48% opposed, or worse than that, it's like 36% in favor and everybody else abstains, you know, and you say, oh, well, that means it passes, right? You know, I would say, wait, that is a, no, it doesn't pass. There's no group conscience developed here, you know. Chilling out, and let's go back and talk about, why don't you like this? Why don't you understand it? Maybe we're doing something wrong. I mean, I really think that if there's going to be a vote yes and no, there should always be a vote, let's not vote on this. Let's not do this. I mean, I think it should always be an option. I'm not in favor of the abstain so much as a yes, I'm ready to go forward with this, no, I want to not go forward with this, or B, let's not do anything at all. You know, and I really think that that's what an abstain should be. But, you know, again, my personal opinion. Because what I'm trying to do is develop a group conscience. That's where I'm trying to go here. Well, I promised to get more complicated, and I will just for a minute, because I said that I wanted to. And that has to do with service boards and committees directly responsible to those they serve. This convention is directly responsible to the CMP region. It is responsible to the CMP region according to its bylaws. Its bylaws say that the convention corporation will follow the traditions of Narcotics Anonymous as interpreted by the CMP region. So if the CMP region says do something, and it sounds sort of at all like this would be the kind of thing Narcotics Anonymous thinks that this board should do, it will. But on the other hand, is it Narcotics Anonymous? The Convention Corporation is not a group. It is really a board that it's like an outsourcing of a function that the region wants to do. The region created the corporation to be able to insulate itself from personal liability and fiduciary liability. And so the corporation was created to do that, but it is an entity that has been hired by, as it were, the region. And it's been hired under a couple of, you know, provisos. And one of those provisos was that the corporation will follow the traditions as the region says it should follow the traditions. And the other one is that the board of directors will accept the nominations of the areas of the region and the nominations of the region itself for membership on the board of directors. Sorry, I had to get complicated there, but the fact is, in the ninth tradition, I am letting you know that it works. That's all I'm trying to go to there. I wanted to let you know that when I talked about there is a plan, the plan in for just like for the steps, there is a plan for your personal recovery. What they told me was, Alan, your plan didn't work. Give it up. You know, no pride of authorship here, dude. We just don't care what you have to say about how you think things should be run. Because we can look at you and tell that your way didn't work. So that's all we care about, you know. So, and we can look around the meetings and we can tell that all these people got something you don't. So we're going to do it their way and you should too. That's one. And in the traditions, it works the same way. To be a productive member of society, I will tell you that a way to do that is by being involved in service in Narcotics Anonymous and learning the hard lessons of service before you try and go out there and apply them out in the, quote, real world with a whole lot of other people. Learn the lessons of service in Narcotics Anonymous. If you can't get along with your fellow addicts, if you can't make that work, if you can't feel a part of, then your plan isn't working. And try a new plan. And I will tell you, the plan of Narcotics Anonymous works. The traditions work. It's our plan for doing things, and they do work. And there's a lot of experienced people who are willing to help you if you want to get involved. Wow, I spoke way too long. Thanks for letting me share.
Wow, that was great. Thank you. Okay, our next speaker is Mike H. from Georgia.
All right, Mike. My name's Mike Madison.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Very nervous. And when they asked me to come up here and share about the ninth tradition, you know, service is a big part of my recovery today. You know, Alan was talking about the first five conventions, and I was at all five of them. You know, I remember the very first one, which was in Annapolis, and it was, you know, around 700 addicts. You know, and when it comes to the ninth tradition, you know, there's a lot of personalities over conflicts that I have. You know, it's just my opinion. Service has saved my life. It's kept me in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I'm going to go a little bit back a little ways. You know, Alan was talking about not knowing people and not knowing how to read. I'm one of them people. I don't know how to read today. I can read to the best of my ability. You know, I do this program. I work this program on Narcotics Anonymous in the 12 traditions and the 12 steps to the best of my ability. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. You know, my sponsor's got 15 years in this fellowship. And he told me just to be honest with myself and don't worry about anything else, whatever everybody at work thinks about you. You know, and I want to tell you a little bit where I came from. I grew up in a little town in South Georgia called Albany. You know, and Alan said I wanted to hear a little bit about my story, and I'll tell a little bit. You know, when I was growing up, being called dumb and stupid and being in special ed all the way to the 12th grade and being passed and never been taught how to read and spell, a lot of that was using. That was, I had an excuse to use, I thought. You know, and see, the best thinking got me in here. And what I do today is I listen to other people. And that's what keeps me here. Because, see, I don't know nothing. I know how to stay clean. You know, I know how to work the steps to the best of my ability. I know how to work 12 traditions to the best of my ability. You know, all they said is to be our, come up here, share my experience, strength, and hope. That's all I have. You know, what's happened in a period of time. You know, I didn't stay here from 1986. I had to go back out there for a few years. Because, see, I wasn't willing to do service work when I got here, the very beginning. I wasn't willing to do what people told me to do that were here when I got here. When I started doing those things, I kept staying here, one day at a time. You know, I knew there was another way of life every day I was out there using after that relapse. It took me 5 years to get back here. You know, and luckily, the God of my understanding, you know, I'm glad that third tradition's in there. You know, because the God of my understanding worked through the third tradition. You know, and the ninth tradition is I say in service work today, and I was listening to Alan talking about, you know, I was a treasurer at one time, and he was talking about being a thief. You know, put them in the treasurer position. Oh, they did that to me. You know, and I remember trying, you know, how you, my addict inside of me tells me my disease is to try to borrow from Peter to pay Paul. That's what I did with the treasurer money. You know, and I got to be honest. That's what I did. You know, and what happened was it caught up to me. You know, it caught up to me. See, what I do today, direct results, whatever I do today, if I do something wrong, I got a conscience today, and I'm a responsible, productive member of society today. If I don't do something responsible, my actions show for what I do, you know, and it took a long time to be able to get where I'm at today. And it's through service. Service is not helping Narcotics Anonymous, it's helping me. You know, and it's been helping me. And I stay in service. You know, conventions, or, you know, this convention I'm very grateful to be at, because I've been going through a week of a lot of things. I came down here on my own. You know, I live in the state of Maryland now, and I'm originally from Georgia. But they have always called me Georgia Mike. You know, because there were so many mics in the program from my area, which is Central Maryland, that I just got stuck with that name, you know. But I want to get back to one thing that I remember about. You see, I got a brother that's got almost 19 years in these of Narcotics Anonymous. And I remember in 1985, he took me to the World Convention. And it was in D.C. at that time. You know, and I remember that. I remember these people giving people hugs. You know, that's where the seed was planted for me in the very beginning. You know, and I came in here young, real young, 16 years old. You know, and today, I think back, you know, from all the things that the traditions and the steps have done for me. The ninth is really one of the most important ones for me, and the third. You know, because what happens is doing that through the ninth step has helped me grow on the inside with dealing with other people on the outside, life people, outside of the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and it took responsibility on myself to be a productive member of society. And I feel I'm that today, you know. I like what Alan was talking about, because things I didn't have a job until I came into Narcotics Anonymous. Today, I can sit here and not even have the paper of who's an addict. I got it in my head. I can memorize things, you know, and that's one of the things that I'm very grateful for, is I got a memory, you know, and I'm going to school today to learn how to read and spell, you know, and it took me to be willing to do that, just like it was willing to get clean. I had to be willing, you know, and I'm very still nervous. My hands are sweating, but that's okay. You know, really ain't gonna share too much longer, because I know that I'm right where I'm supposed to be. You know, I'm at a convention, probably my eighth convention. You know, and I've been to One World. You know, and being clean don't equal recovery. And I know this today. You know, and it's how I present myself to the people on the outside of these rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. How I carry myself is how I want to be carried. You know, I want to be treated the way I carry myself. You know, and I had to call my sponsor before I even took this position on to come up here and share tonight. And I want to thank the committee for asking me. You know, and I'm glad I'm right here where I'm at. You know, I'm standing here, and I'm facing another fear. You know, and that my sponsor always says is just, you got to remember that you're just here for the newcomer. You know, and you just got to show him. You know, and the willingness, I guess this does have something to do with the ninth edition, is I wish people were willing, when I first got here, the way they, you know, what Alan was talking about, back in my area, when we had a group conscious, you had to have 30 days to be a coffee maker. You had to have a year to be a secretary. You know, and you had the position for a year. Now, group conscious is today of more complete, it's more politics than it is anything. And, it's hard to overcome that politics, you know, because everybody have opinions. You know, and when we have a group conscious at my home group, everybody have their opinions. And I got to walk away from that group conscious and remember why I'm there. You know, because if I don't, I can voice my opinion in the wrong way. You know, and I'm going to thank the committee again. I thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, guys. That was great. Okay, at this time, we're going to open the meeting up for other people to share. So you can come up, you know, one at a time. Does anyone else want to share? Anybody? Okay, then will somebody please read just for today?
It's on that chair right over there. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Larry and I'm an addict.
Hi, Larry.
Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I'll try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I'll try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using, and who have found a new way of life.
So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Just for today.
Thank you guys for being here.